Obituary. One Narth. One Narth, a Cambodian who painted to stay alive, died on September 5th, aged 65.
When he was 52, with a hand that still trembled, One Narth produced a painting of a young man lying under a blossoming tree. He was playing a pipe, while in the background, cattle grazed by green palms in some bucolic corner of Cambodia. It was meant to be a self-portrait, he said, a beautiful memory from his childhood. He wanted only to paint idyllic landscapes now, in the style of temple murals, or the French impressionists who had first inspired him to take up art. That was because, in 1978-79, he had been made to paint quite different pictures. In those months, he was interned in S21 prison, a former French lycée in Phnom Penh, which had been converted into a torture compound for alleged enemies of the Khmer Rouge regime. Perhaps 14,000 people were sent to S21 for a daily routine of electrocution, waterboarding and flagellation, before being carted off for execution, a shovel or a spade to the head, at the nearby killing fields. Mr. One Narth was one of only 6 or 7 prisoners to make it out alive. He never expected to. Like almost all the others, he had no idea why he had been sent there. He was not an intellectual. His family was poor and provincial, and he was just a painter in a small business making signs and billboards. In 1975, obedient to the Khmer Rouge, he had joined a peasant commune and worked hard there. When he first saw the wasted prisoners in S21, he thought it was all over for him. But after withering away for a month, fed so sparely on rice gruel that he felt an urge to consume the flesh of the dead, he was asked to paint portraits of the regime's leader, Pol Pot. At first, he thought he could not do it. The shocks and beatings meant that he could barely stand. Besides, he had no idea what Pol Pot looked like, and only a black and white photograph to copy. All the time he painted, day and night, the screams of the tortured echoed from other rooms. He hoped, with every brushstroke, that his jailers would like his work and let him live. He focused by thinking how much he would like to kill the man he drew. Nonetheless, he carried out the task to the satisfaction of Dutch, the prison commandant, the one and still only former cadre now being held to account for his role in the revolution. For his flattering portraits, giving Pol Pot a fresh-faced girl's rosy cheeks, Mr. One Narth's name in the prison ledger was tagged "Keep for Use." But for that keeping, he often said, he would be dead. When a Vietnamese invasion swept the Khmer Rouge from power in January 1979, his portrait painting ended. But in 1980-81, an even more harrowing spell of art began. The fleeing warders of S21 left behind troves of documents outlining the prison's work, but it was Mr. One Narth, painting his memories in sombre oils, who showed most vividly what had happened there. Blindfolded men, women and children trucked into the compound in the middle of the night. Men carried, trussed like pigs, on bamboo poles. Babies torn from their mother's arms, to be smashed against walls, he learned later. Prisoners prodded, whipped, and steered by stone-faced cadres into holding cells to be crammed side by side, like decaying logs. For many years after the Khmer Rouge fell from power, the upper echelons of the regime denied S21's existence. Mr. One Narth caught its reality in furtive glances as he moved from cell to workshop. He painted by stilling his mind, in a process both painful and therapeutic. But painting still made no sense of what he had seen. It seemed to him that Cambodia could not cleanse itself of such an evil, and that his works were not good enough to do such horror justice. He only hoped the souls of those who had died would get some ease from them. When S21 was turned into a museum of the national self-genocide he had witnessed, some of his pictures hung on the walls. One day, for the first time since 1979, he saw one of his former jailers there, a tiger he had dreaded. Having puffed a few cigarettes to steel himself, for he was always a man of poise despite his tormented past, he He approached him affably and guided him by the shoulder to his paintings hanging there. "Is this accurate?" he asked. "It was," the jailer conceded. The international media, whose questions about S-21 he patiently answered time after time, called him Cambodia's Goya. He brushed it off. His principal fear was that young Cambodians would not learn about, or worse still, would not believe, what he had witnessed. He painted, he said, so that Cambodia would never turn on itself so monstrously again. 2 years ago, Mr. Won Nuff took the stand as a witness against Dutch, his former master, who is now appealing a 35-year jail sentence handed down by a UN-backed war crimes court in Cambodia. A second trial, of four senior leaders of the regime, is not expected to start until next year. The defendants say they are too ill to stand trial. They are attended, however, by a world-class team of doctors. Mr. Won Nuff, who suffered years of kidney disease, struggled to afford even basic care. His testimony will be missing from subsequent proceedings. His paintings, however, speak for him.
The Economist.
September 17th to September 23rd, 2011.
Word for word. The articles from this week's edition of The Economist in audio.
The Economist is available from all good newsagents and by subscription. Visit economist.com.
The audio edition of The Economist is produced by Talking Issues. TalkingIssues.com. Straight talking audio downloads.